Minnesota has one of the lowest imprisonment rates in the country. That is true. But if you look at the difference in imprisonment rates between the white population in Minnesota and the black population in Minnesota, the difference in those two rates is the widest difference, the widest disparity of any state in the country. Our ratio is 25-1. That is, the imprisonment rate for blacks in Minnesota is 25 times higher than the imprisonment rate for whites. The national average, and the disparity exists nationally, but the national average is about 7.5. So we are much, much higher than is the disparity on average nationally. And that is simply an unacceptable fact, and it's a fact that is the precipitating reason behind our study, saying, look, we need to find out what is causing this disparity to exist. If it's issues within the criminal justice system, we got to address those issues. If it's an issue of higher crime rates, we got to find exactly what is the reasons for those higher crime rates and what might be strategies to take those underlying reasons for that higher crime rate on and squarely on.
People listening to you will say, well, Tom, it's true that we've put a lot of African American men in jail and prison in Minnesota, but look at the crime rate. From Chief Olson's office, the numbers coming out, the last 2 years, double-digit decreases in so-called major crime rates in Minneapolis. And so somebody is going to leap to the conclusion, well, there you go. The connection is as clear as can be. We have put the bad people away in jail and prison, and crime has come down. Voila. Case closed. Question answered.
On a simplistic level, the assertion that someone who is in prison is not going to reoffend is a truism. To then assume that by simply locking up more people that we have dealt with the crime problem is not only short-sighted, it's wrong. We still have many underlying forces at work here in our community that, unless tended to, will assure that we will continue to have a population who are highly at risk to become the next generation of criminals. And when I what I mean by that is, when we look at such factors, risk factors as high school dropout rates, teenage pregnancy rates, poverty rates, kids raised within single families, particularly single parent families, particularly single parent families where there is a high level of dysfunction caused by unemployment and absence of education and chemical dependency. The people who are in prison aren't helping at all with that population, which is the next population of criminals. And there are, as you probably are aware, studies on both sides of the issue in terms of the cost efficiency of putting people in prison. Most of the studies come down on the side that there is a point at which it does not become cost efficient, that the cost associated with a year's incarceration can be spent better in other ways in order to address the crime problem if you're taking a long-term approach.
Yes, I hear you, I hear the words, and I certainly follow your explanation. I go back to the point that some people will just absolutely leap at, which is, we doubled sentences for some of the most violent crimes in Minnesota, and at the same time, later on then, a few years later, crime rates come down.
Well, then we need to keep in mind that in most instances, these people will be released from prison. I don't want to be a part of the chorus who is saying, all right, then the crime rate will go up because we've released those people. I think that is an issue, however, in terms of what are we going to do by way of helping them transition from a prison sentence much longer now, much longer isolation from the community that they're going back to, back into that community so that they can be productive and law-abiding. That's a huge issue that we have to address. We need also to recognize that over the last several years that we've had a booming economy, we've had, which always correlates to crime rates. The better the economy, the lower the crime rate. We have had a change in the overall demographics of the crime-prone age, with a decrease in that population. So there are a lot of other factors that are at play here, that any one of which may have brought about the decrease in the crime rate. Now, Minnesota has, as we have talked about earlier, lengthened its sentences for violent crimes to some of the longest in the country. It has not seen the same reduction in crime rates as has other states that haven't increased their prison sentences as long. And if you look at how states fall with respect to crime rates based on increase in prison population, I can only tell you, and I have a chart that shows this, there is no pattern to it whatsoever. Some states that have had significant increases in their prison population have had significant decreases in their crime rate. Others have had little or no decrease. Some states who have increased their prison populations very little have had significant decreases in their crime rate. The point is that when you look at that as a simple one-to-one correlation, is there a correlation between increasing prison populations and decreasing crime rates? The states are all over the map.